Well, let me begin this message that I'm calling Redeeming the Season. Redeeming the Season. And I want to begin by just sharing some history of Church in the City, Beth Abraham. Some of you might know some of this history. Some of you might not know that. We began across the street in an old Safeway supermarket in 1991. And we were mainly doing Sunday services. I'm not saying I'm like Paul, but God took this Jew to the church to share to mainly a Gentile audience and so on. However, during these messages, I would share some of the Jewish roots or things that I learned as a Jewish believer over the years at our services. I would interject things about Sukkot and Shavuot and Passover and just all the different feasts and festivals and so on and so forth. And I recognized that a few people began to complain, say, why are we doing this Jewish stuff? And what it did for me, it made me kind of back off from sharing stuff like that. I didn't want to deal with all some of the complaints I was getting. But one of our leaders who was an elder, his name was Dr. Raleigh Washington, he told me, Michael, you need to keep preaching that stuff. I mean, don't hold back from sharing with us because that's who you are. So next time I remember getting in front of the congregation and saying, you know what? I'm no longer going to apologize for who I am. I'm going to be who I am. And I'm going to share as God would have me share with you. I'm just going to be, as a Jewish believer, I'm going to share what God puts on my heart. And what happened was some clapped and some never came back. And so fast forward with that, when we were about to move from across the street over to this synagogue, I began preaching about crossing the Jordan, what that was going to be like. Actually, the name of the street is Josephine, but I called it the Jordan just because of the change of what was going to be taking place, and we were going to be able to come into this synagogue and so on and so forth. And sadly, my worship leader back then and his wife, who was our children's director, said, we're not meant to cross the Jordan with you. And that kind of saddened me, but I understood. I mean, however, there were many that did choose to cross the Jordan with us. So we came into the synagogue, and it took us many months and many resources to restore this place back to its original grandeur. We didn't just want to slap paint on the wall, and they didn't even want us to put in stained glass windows, just put in, because they're all broken windows, just put in regular windows and curtains and so on, and said, no, we want to restore it back to the way it was 100 years ago with the same scriptures and the same scenes from the Old Testament as well. And so we did do that. But after restoring it, God put on my heart to have a Messianic Shabbat service added on to our Sunday services that we were having. You know, after all, being Jewish and being in a 100-year-old synagogue, I said, I want to be able to have a Shabbat service here and not necessarily rent it out or let another Messianic congregation meet here. Why don't we do it here together? And I didn't have any model or any clue of what that could look like there was no one doing anything like that, having a Messianic Shabbat service and then having a Sunday service as well. It was something that I realized after getting involved in that, I realized why no one was really doing that. Because of all the challenges that occur between those two factions, so to speak. But in spite of all those challenges, and so when I really believed in my heart, you know, we were pioneering something. We believed that there was something that we wanted to do, and I saw it as one congregation with two expressions of worship, kind of like a dual expression congregation, Shabbat and Sunday. And basically, scripturally, I based it on Ephesians 2, 14 and 15, where Paul said, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace." And when Paul was talking about the two groups, the only two groups back then were either you were Jew or you were if you're not Jewish, you're Gentile, and there's nothing better or worse, but that those were the two groups back then. And he wanted to break down those walls between the two groups. And what I saw through that scripture is that I believe the two groups that we could look at today are the Messianic and the Sunday service, as those two groups that worship Yeshua or Jesus. And to break down the walls between those two groups. But there were challenges. I mean, I would say, being in ministry 35 years, the biggest challenge was to add a Messianic service together with a Sunday service. Don't you know that Sunday is a pagan day and you're worshiping on the wrong day and you're celebrating wrong things and it's pagan this and pagan that and it's not right and so on? And then I always thought, do you think God is mad at 2 billion people who worship on this day or that day? And then on the church, Sunday side, why are we going back to the law? Why are we doing that? We're saved by grace. I mean, I'm telling you, I could go on and on with all the issues that I've had to deal with over the past 12 to 15 years. I mean, unbelievable. I had to realize why no one is doing this. You're either one or the other because of all the issues between the two. But in my heart, the challenge was to see those walls come down, those walls of hostility come down. So today, no time in the year does this stuff come up more than this time of year when we're dealing with Christmas and we're dealing with Hanukkah. And my heart was to, how do we bridge the gap between the two, you know, being a Jew? And especially this year when Hanukkah and Christmas are basically at the same exact time. So I wanted to address the elephant in the room or whatever, the challenge, by sharing today just why I think it's okay, whether you do or you don't, it's up to you, but it's okay for a Messianic Jew like me, Messianic Gentiles, to be able to celebrate Christmas. Now, there are some here that do, and there's some here that don't. And I understand that. And I realize that many in the Messianic movement, because I'm involved with a lot of Messianic rabbis and so on. And I'll never forget doing a workshop at a Messianic rabbis roundtable conference where there are about 300 Messianic rabbis. And I remember getting my table set up about the dual expression. And I wanted to show them what we're doing here and so on. And I remember this rabbi came up to me and said, he looked at what I'm doing. He said, if this has anything to do with the church, I don't want anything to do with it. And I'm going, the walls of hostility are put up there. And I go, you're going to have issues with billions of people that worship our God? And I realized then what the challenge that God had put me in. I don't know why. But I understand there are some valid issues concerning Christmas. I get it. But all I ask is just that you would just be open to hear what I believe God put on my heart, and then you make your own decision and your own choice. Amen? This isn't about feeling guilty for feeling one way or the other, and so on and so forth. And I plan on sharing on Sunday about Hanukkah and the fact that without Hanukkah, there would be no Christmas. So it goes both ways, and I understand that. But I am willing, like a lamb led to the slaughter, to take on the challenge of that because I believe God put it in my heart, so God help me. So let's pray as I just share briefly what God put on my heart about this. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we love you. We are in love with you and who you are and what you are in our lives. And I know that there's a lot of issues and challenges about certain things, but Lord, the ultimate thing is you came into our lives and you saved us. And that's what matters, is who you are, not all the details of this or that or how we do it or what day we do it on or whatever. We just want to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth for who we are. So I just pray that those, we just have ears to hear what I believe just you put on my heart to just share this, especially at this time of year, and why it's important for us to hear it. And I just thank you for your faithfulness and pray that in Yeshua's name. Amen? Again, now I realize diving into this topic can definitely bring up things, spark questions, even controversy. When you talk about Christmas in a messianic setting, as this, I'm sure it doesn't happen very often in many Messianic congregations, if ever. You know, I had someone tell me, you know, Michael, I won't even bring my children around you because you talk about Christmas and I don't want them to hear about it. And I go, how crazy is that to me? I know there's a problem, and I know there's walls, and I know there's hostility against, and that saddens me. So the question is, should we celebrate it? Shouldn't we celebrate? Is it okay to celebrate or not celebrate it? And so on and so forth. And, you know, I know the arguments, and I give them validity. It's got pagan roots. It's too commercialized. It's not even commanded in the Bible to do that. These concerns, I believe, are valid. But here's what I believe. Christmas, or the celebration of the birth of the Messiah, when approached with the right heart, is not only okay to do that, it's powerful. It's a powerful opportunity to worship God, to reflect on his redemptive plan, and to share the hope of Yeshua with the world. See, as millions of non-believers attend these Christmas services and they hear the gospel and they're being saved, that's a good thing. Now, let me share with you a rare event that happened over 100 years ago. It was a moment, a historical moment, when these enemies set aside their differences in order to celebrate Christmas. It was actually called, you can Google it, the Christmas Truce of World War I, which occurred in December 24th, 1914. Roughly 100,000 British and German troops that were in these trenches shooting at each other and firing at each other. On that day, they had an informal secession. They stopped the hostility between them along the fronts. And the Germans placed these candles on their trenches and they began singing Christmas carols. And the British responded in the same way by singing carols back and forth to them. Can you imagine people trying to kill each other? All of a sudden the day appears and soldiers, enemy soldiers, start singing carols and exchanging gifts between the two and recognizing their shared humanity amidst the trench warfare that they were involved in. You see, the message that this carries back then is the same message that it carries today. The birth of our Messiah offers us hope. It offers us reconciliation with God. It brings about unity to a divided world, that now we have something in common that we can worship together. Shouldn't we as believers embrace that gift of reconciliation that he's given us? Now, when I think back at that first announcement of Yeshua's birth found in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, the angel came and said to these shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all people. For today in the town of David, a Savior was born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." See, that's what Christmas is all about and should be. It's celebrating the greatest gift given, our Messiah, Yeshua. And I want to kind of unpack why it's worth understanding and celebrating, no matter who you are, and that you can do it in an honoring way that honors God and also reflects our faith in who we believe and what we're about. As we look at the cultural significance of it, remember the story of the Magi's that was in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. We're not going to look at but that was a story. These Magi probably came from Persia, and they represented the Gentile nations coming to worship the Jewish king back then. And, you know, they had a dangerous journey. They were going through crossing deserts, but they were following a star, holding on to a hope that this star would lead to the one who would change the world. And then, as I mentioned just briefly about the shepherds too, they were the first to hear this announcement. They were lowly shepherds, marginalized, but they were the first ones chosen to receive this good news. And imagine their awe and fear turning into joy when they witnessed God's glory and held it in their arms. You see, Christmas unites rich, poor, learned, humble people, the near, the far. Yeshua is the bridge that brought us all together. And it all became at his birth. And if he wasn't born, everything we're doing is meaningless. Now I realize again, as messianic believers, our faith is deeply rooted in the promises of God to Israel. So let's look at one of those promises out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 through 7, when he tells us, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." This prophecy points directly to Yeshua. Isaiah spoke of a child who would come and bring peace and rule with justice. And then even in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, where Bethlehem is named as the Messiah's birthplace, Micah 5, verse 2, he said, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratus, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from the old and from ancient times." These were all fulfilled by the birth of Yeshua. That's why when we celebrate that birth, we are celebrating God's faithfulness to his words. Now, I believe, as many of us do, that the Jewish festivals that we celebrate, they point to Yeshua as well. Hanukkah is about light coming into the world and dedication and so on. In fact, in John chapter 8, verse 12, Yeshua said, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." He is the light. His birth is all about bringing light into darkness. Passover is our redemption. We know that. The blood of the Lamb protecting God's people. John 1:29, John the Baptist even declared, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." See, Christmas doesn't replace any of that. It complements them by celebrating the fulfillment of God's redemptive plan. Now, obviously, the pagan roots are real, and there are many objections to Christmas because of its pagan roots. And it's true that December 25th was associated with pagan festivals and Saturnalia and the winter solstice and all that. But here's what I want us to see in the midst of that. God always has been in the business of redeeming what was broken, what was defiled, and what the enemy has taken over. Think about the cross. The cross was an instrument of the Romans of torture and death. Yet through Yeshua, it became the ultimate symbol of life and salvation. So if the enemy has taken this day, whatever day, December 25th, and meant it for evil, God can turn it around and use that day for good. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. He said, "Therefore, don't let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or in regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Yeshua." That's where our reality, that's where it all points to. We're not celebrating pagan traditions when we celebrate his birth. We're celebrating the Messiah. We're not taking that date, and we are seeing it that once represented darkness, and we're using it to shine Yeshua's light on. Let me share an example of a family I heard of. They transform their Christmas traditions to focus entirely on Yeshua. They created ornaments with spiritual verses on them, scriptural verses. They read the nativity scriptures together. They even used Christmas lights to remind them that Yeshua is the light of the world. That's what it means to redeem the season, not turn off to it, not disregard it, but redeem it for God's purposes. Why should we ever give it up to the enemy? Why should we have let the enemy rule it and reign it and all the stuff that he wants to do through it? Now, I realize, you know, was Jesus born on December 25th? Probably not. I don't know. None of us were there, but that's not the point. See, that date is debated, but the focus is on the incarnation that he was born. That's the focus, not the timing of it, but that the event actually occurred. In fact, Luke 2:11 again says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He's the Messiah of the Lord. That's the fact. That's what's true. Now, I understand Christmas has become commercialized, but we need to redeem that in the sense of we need to change the focus on giving and serving and revealing to this world who he really is. Romans 12:2 says, don't conform to the pattern of this world. Don't do it their way. In fact, Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on the earthly things and what they're doing. And another question I'm shared with is, why not just stick with the biblical feasts? And that's a fair question. And again, I need to be clear, Christmas doesn't replace the biblical feast. It actually complements them. Take Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, trying to remember how God dwelled with his people in the wilderness. You know, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Sukkot fulfilled in Yeshua. He was the one that dwelled. Again, in Hanukkah, a great example, the light and the dedication. See, celebrating Yeshua's birth during the season of Hanukkah connects us to both themes together, the light of his presence and the call for us to dedicate our lives to him. Think of it this way. The biblical feasts are like the melody and Christmas like the harmony that's added. And together they create the full picture of that he came and why he came and so on. His whole redemptive plan is revealed through that. Now, I realize we're in a divided world. People are polarized by almost everything, including Christmas and so on. But as followers of Yeshua, we're called to be the light in the midst of all that. John 17:21, Yeshua prays that all of them may be one. Don't let this stuff divide us. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. When we come together, Jew and Gentile and so on, come together, he says, then the world will believe that he was sent. That's worldwide revival right there. So the enemy continues to divide us and put up these walls because he doesn't want the world to know that he was sent. As I mentioned earlier, Christmas is a unique time when people, even those who don't believe, are open to hear. They come and listen. It's an opportunity to share the gospel with people that will never listen or ever hear it. Another family I heard invited neighbors over for a Christmas dinner, and they shared the nativity story from Luke 2 and talked about why Yeshua's birth is such good news. And those simple acts of kindness to their neighbors planted seeds of hope that they could be saved and they could know him. See, Matthew 5:16 says this, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's use that time, this season. Christmas is an opportunity to reflect Yeshua's light in the world, not give it over to the enemy and say, oh, that's your day. Let's use it. Let's use every day to reflect, and especially a day when people at least are open to see it and hear it. Will it honor God? Does celebrating that day, Christmas, honor God? Think about it. Celebrating his birth. When you people, your family and friends get together to give you a birthday party and celebrate your birthday, doesn't that honor you? You feel honored by that, that people really care and are celebrating your birthday. I believe it. It's the same with God. When we celebrate it with the right heart, it becomes an act of worship to him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do it all to the glory of the Lord. If we're celebrating a day and a birth and an event that we know happened, not knowing the exact day it happened, it brings honor and glory to God. Because we're doing it as unto him, not the way the world does it. So Yeshua's birth is an opportunity to glorify God. Another family just uses that day to write down all the ways God has blessed them over the year. And they read them aloud and celebrating his birth. So let me just share a few things with you. This is some reasons besides what I shared of why we can celebrate this if you so choose. See, the Savior of mankind has come to the earth. It's an incomparable gift that God has given us. And even if he was not born in December 25th, he was possibly conceived during this season. So we're celebrating that as well. And the testimony of Yeshua resonates across the whole earth during this season. And it can be used to spread the gospel. During this season, the world is open to hear that. And that we don't want to toss it away, say, let the enemy have it. We can reach Jews and others in a unique way with this message of Christmas. Some, in fact, in Israel, people are really interested in hearing about Yeshua during this time. Christmas can draw families closer together, those share the love of God with those who don't know the Savior. You know, thankfully, most believers these days are aware of the pagan roots and so on and so forth, and no one is denying that. And that the material trappings that can happen during this time as well. But understanding that frees them to celebrate it in the right way, with the right focus on Yeshua himself, and that's what it's about. See, like it or not, it's probably going to be around for a while in our Western culture. So if the righteous don't have a say in this, it's going to become totally secularized. And the whole idea of his birth becomes some secular thing because we've given it over to the world. Believers, if they stop celebrating his birth, you know, the culture may lose any public mention of his birth at all. It gives us an opportunity to talk about Yeshua. Places all over the world happening. You know, and the last thing I want to mention is that quite possibly God likes it when on a particular day all the attention is about him. At least one day a year where the world gets notice. So let me finish with this. Christmas traditionally is celebrated as the birth of Yeshua. And again, is often viewed among messianics, especially with skepticism due to concerns over the historical and cultural origins. However, a biblical perspective affirms the legitimacy of celebrating Yeshua's birth as part of God's redemptive plan for this world. And I hope by sharing some of this, that this message would help give a little understanding that Messianics can embrace Christmas with a joy and reverence, focusing on biblical principles, prophetic fulfillment, and the celebration of Yeshua's incarnation, not on all the other stuff. It offers Messianics an opportunity to joyfully celebrate Yeshua's birth and reflect on his plan and be able to witness to others as well. So while the origins of this date may not be biblical, the focus on Messiah's incarnation is worthy of that celebration. So we need to claim this as a day to honor our Messiah, that immeasurable gift of salvation that God has given us. And I hope this helps a little. You, again, decide on your own. I've already decided as a Jew, I celebrate his birth and I celebrate Hanukkah and I celebrate all the feasts and so on and so forth. But I want to make sure that what we're celebrating is grounded in Scripture and that it highlights Yeshua's birth in God's plan for humanity. See, just as those magi, they traveled these great distances and the shepherds overcame their fear and it bridged the divide between all of them, that we need to use this time to reflect on unity made possible through the birth of Yeshua. Whether you recognize this day or not, I'm going to finish with this. Romans 14:5 says, one person considers one day more sacred than another, and another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. So you need to decide and be fully convinced in your own mind as to the day you will choose or what you celebrate and so on. You may choose to celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas, maybe just Hanukkah, maybe just Christmas, who knows? However, we must never judge anyone else for what God has put on their heart as to how they celebrate and how they choose as believers as well. May we no longer let our celebrations of biblical events ever divide us again, because it's only when we come together in unity, as Jesus prayed in John 17, that the world would know that he is the Messiah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. And I thank you, Lord, that this is a challenge for some of us. And we've had some issues and dealt with some of these things. And Lord, I know we're all individuals. But I pray, Lord, that you would just make clear to us what you would have us do. Lord, that we would just be open to embrace what your word is telling us to embrace and be able to truly celebrate a fact that you were born and that you came to save us from our sin. That's a fact. That's the most important thing, Lord. That you were born, you came, you lived, you died, you rose again, and you paid the price to restore us into relationship with you. All the details of the day and so on really don't matter as much as we celebrate your birth and your resurrection, Lord, as to who you are. Lord, so I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And I just ask again that we would be challenged in what we've chosen to do and allow you to speak to our hearts and to our minds, that we might embrace what you would have us do. And I pray this in the Holy One of Israel, Jesus our Lord, Yeshua, our Messiah. And everyone said, amen. Let's all stand, and I want to pronounce our blessing and know that we have Oneg today. Amen? We're going to feast. I'm telling you, there's food galore.
Thank you, Lord.
And even as the Lord spoke to Moses and to these words, say these words over my people through your sons, the priests, that the Lord would bless you and keep you, that the Lord would make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, that the Lord would lift up his countenance, turn his face directly toward you, and thus give you his peace. Yivarechecha Adonai Veishmarecha Ya'er Adonai Panav Alecha Vihunecha Yisa Adonai Panav Alecha V'yasam Lecha Shalom. Father, may we enjoy and embrace your peace, because the Prince of Peace, the Holy One of Israel, lives in our hearts, knowing that if you be for us, nothing can be against us, Lord. So we thank you for your blessing, your favor. We thank you for you coming to this earth, you living, dying, and raising again to give us life and hope, not only for this life, but the life to come. And we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise for that. And I pray these things in the name of the Holy One of Israel, Yeshua, our Lord. And everyone would say, Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.